Praise God. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And over in Psalm 139, I'm going to read a few verses here in that chapter, most of the chapter actually, but I want us to read it. Because sometimes going through life, we face difficult situations that we don't know which way to turn sometimes. And we've talked in the past couple weeks about disappointments that we go through, but discouragements that we face. And sometimes we feel that we're just here on our own, and God is a million miles away. And when you pray, it seems like there's no answer. When you know you're looking for something that you feel you need an answer right away, God is just taking his time, and just, you know, to us it seems like he's just dragging his feet, you know. And it's easy to get frustrated in times like this. But notice what the psalmist says here, Psalm 139, and beginning at verse 1. He said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Even before you have a thought, God knows what you're going to think. And he sees you when you're sitting down. He sees you when you're rising up. You know, sometimes, as I said, we feel that God is not even interested. Notice what he says here. He said, you comprehend my path and my laying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. That's your good times, your bad times. God is acquainted with it. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows even a word you're going to speak. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. You put a hedge around me, a hedge of protection. Remember Job, when the devil came up before God? He said, I can't get through to Job. He said, because you got a hedge put around him. Well, God's got a hedge put around you. Keep that in mind. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Remember we talked about a couple weeks ago that the Holy Spirit monitors the universe. Hears even if a bird falls to the ground. So David is saying here, the psalmist is saying, where can I go away from your presence, from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. Remember Jonah tried that to get away? Couldn't get away from God. You know, there's times, I said to Pat, you know, I don't know, last week I guess it was, we were just driving around and, you know, talking about difficulties and struggles that everybody's going through and we're going through ourselves and stuff like that. And I said, sometimes I'd like to be able to just take a month and just go and not think about anything else. Anybody ever feel that? You know? And just come back when everything's settled down. You know? Well, you know as well as I do, when you come back, it's still not going to be settled down. You're still going to deal with it. But David says here, he said, even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. He said, I can't get away from God's presence at all. It's not a bad thing. This is a good thing. He's talking about how much God is with us. He said, yes, he said, indeed, even the darkness shall not hide me from you. But the night shines as a day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed me. Now, this is how much God is concerned about you. Those who have babies in the wombs, look at this. He said, you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, or my structure, my skeleton, some translations, was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, And in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God knows every breath that you're breathing. Matter of fact, He gives you every breath that you're breathing. I mean, we need to understand how much God is involved in our lives. The first verse we read there, and we sang the song, of course, a few minutes ago, "Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man." The scripture says a good man are ordered by God. And it also goes for a good woman too, so don't get nervous here. Rejoice because your steps are ordered by God. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God said, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, to give you a future and a hope." You know, that doesn't mean that we'll never have any struggles. And if you've been living for any amount of time at all, you know that there's going to be struggles in life. There's going to be battles, there's going to be testings, there's going to be hardships and difficulties that you're going to have to go through. But what he's saying there, God said, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you." What he's saying to us, even though you'll go through those struggles, you'll go through those times, God says, "I'm there with you to bring you through it." Now, before we go any further, let's pray and ask God's direction in this. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, for the mercy and the love and the grace of God. Pray, Father, for wisdom today as we look into the Word of God. We pray for understanding. We pray that the Holy Spirit would move in our lives and give us direction, Lord. And Father, help us to take this, as we say so often, Lord, but it's true. Help us to put it into practice in our lives. Help us not to be just hearers of the Word, but to be a doer as well. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 8:28. Scripture says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." All things will work together for our good. What he's saying, everything that we go through in life, not just the good things, but everything that we go through, God will bring about and use for our good. See, God has got a plan, and I know we keep saying this over and over and over, but we need to get it down in our hearts and believe it. God has got a plan for each individual here this morning. And sometimes we think, well, God, you know, He's got a plan for the pastor, He's got a plan for someone else, you know, stuff like that, but He don't really have a plan for me. God's got a plan for every last one of us. Okay, we need to understand that there's a plan and there's a purpose, there's a destiny that God wants to move you toward, and as you're going through life, the difficult situations, the good situations, whatever you face, God will take all these things and use them to push you in the direction that you need to go to get where He wants you to be. And every last one of us has got that purpose, that plan that God has got for us. Sometimes we don't understand what it is, and most times we don't understand what it is, and sometimes we don't even understand God leading us until we arrive at the destination. Sometimes we can look back and say, okay, now I can see where God brought me through something. But we need to understand that God is going to use all these things to push us forward to the plan and the purpose that He's got for our lives. God can use even our enemies and cause them, instead of to be stumbling stones, they can be stepping stones to bring us to where God wants us to be. So let's not be discouraged when we come against situations and problems that seems like it's going to be setbacks in our lives. Like I heard one fellow say one time, a lot of times the things that we think are setbacks are really setups. And God is going to use that to bless us and lead us and bring us into something that He's got in store for us. So we need to understand that this plan and this purpose that God has got for each one of us, God is going to keep working at that and working at that. And even though you get off course, God is going to bring you back on course again, and He's going to lead you towards that goal that He's got for you. He said He'll use everything, all the failures. It's something we need to understand, that failures that we go through. See, what the devil has done sometimes when we fail at something, if we mess up and we sort of throw things off course, the devil will try to make you believe that that's permanent. You'll always have to stay with that now. You'll always have to suffer. You'll always be there, you know. Our problems, I heard a fellow say one time, our problems don't define us. In other words, what he's saying, you might have stole something at one time. Not suggesting you go out and do that, but I'm just saying. You may have stole something sometime, you know. But that doesn't make you a thief. I know we say, you know, that person is a thief. But that's not something that determines your life forever. Okay? You may have messed up somewhere along the line. You may have done something terrible in the past. But that doesn't mean to say that you have to stay back there in the past. And doesn't mean, see, the goodness about the grace of God is that God wipes all that clean and we start out fresh every day. The Bible says His mercy is new every morning. So we need to understand that just because you made a mistake somewhere along the line, that's not who you are. That's something you did, but it's not who you are. You are a child of God. If you got your faith in Jesus, you're a child of God. You're in His family. And what you did is something that you did. It's not who you are or who you were at that particular time. Now, so we need to understand that. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 40, it says, He also brought me up, verse 2 here, He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. And in the time of trouble, the Lord, that's what we were just singing, the Lord will uphold him. See, I've told you before, when you get saved, doesn't mean to say that your problems are all over. You're still living in the same world. You're living in hostile territory. Okay? This is not the kingdom of God yet. You understand that? You know, and as long as you're on this planet, Jesus said offenses must come. You're going to run into problems. But here's the deal. When you are in Christ, when you are a Christian, when you're a believer, when you put your trust in God, He said, the Lord will uphold you. We're just saying the Lord will uphold you, the Lord will preserve you, and the Lord will sustain you. You don't have to fall to pieces. You don't have to, you know, say, oh my, what am I going to do and start tearing at your hair and wondering what's going on? No, keep your eyes upon God. Keep your eyes upon the Lord, because He promised that He's going to bring you through this. He said He will establish your steps. There's times when we'll all go through it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, He said, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Let God establish them. Psalm 17, verse 5, He said, uphold my steps in your paths that my footsteps may not slip. God is going to direct us. God is going to lead us. But this only comes as we put our trust in God. Okay, keep your eyes upon the Lord. We say this so many times. Moses endured by keeping his eyes on Him who was invisible. If you're going to endure in this, you're going to have to keep your eyes upon the Lord. The Bible says, don't set your eyes on the things on the earth. Set your things on things that are above. Your eyes on things that are above. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look to Him, and God is going to direct our path. God is going to lead us. God is going to bring us safely wherever His plan is in our life, wherever, whatever His purpose is. We need to understand that. Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, you look at things. I read verses sometimes and I get in the office and I just, you're meditating on it and thinking, how does this balance out with what I'm going through? Or how do what I'm going through balance out with this is probably a better way of saying it. You know, because we got to understand, when you read something in God's Word, that's the truth. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, God's Word is the truth. Not my experience. You understand that? When you're going through something and there's difficulties in your life, you can't say, well, God has just given up on me. No, let's get back to the Word, because this is the truth right here. I might feel like He's given up on me. I might feel like nobody else has ever gone through this. But the truth is in God's Word. And the Bible tells us that God has directed our path. God, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. You say, well, if God is ordering my steps, how come I'm always in a trouble? How come I'm always messed up? Now, is anybody else always messed up or just me? I mean, we all go through it. You know, Lord, if you say you order my steps, boy, you missed it somewhere. That's how we feel. But no, it's not God missed it. If there's any missing in it, it's us. If there's ever a problem between God's end and my end, the problem is always on my end. You understand that? God's Word is always true. And when I get messed up, when I get into situations, let's not blame it on God. Let's run to God, but let's not blame it on Him. couple years ago, or last year, I guess it was, when Pat's father passed away, we were in Newfoundland, and coming back up, and now, have you ever driven through Montreal? There's always, 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 always construction. Okay? It's just construction season year-round, it seems like. And we were coming up, and somewhere along the line, got on the wrong road. And you know us fellows, we love, love, love asking directions. You know that's a lie. But anyway, we were traveling along and looking for Highway 20. And Highway 20 just vanished. It was not around anywhere. Every sign was anything else but Highway 20. You know. And Tracy was there, and she said, well, she said, I'm going to get out my phone, she said, and you know, use it as GPS. And she got out the phone, and she put in the address for home and hit the button, and you know, after a while, start to calculate and everything else. And so, you know, I can't remember all the details, but anyway, it says, you know, turn right here or whatever. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to trust that. And so anyway, I figured, well, I don't know where I'm at anyway, so I might as well trust it. So went over on this road, and all of a sudden, we start heading north. And I mean, we're already north of Montreal. I knew that much. And I thought, man, we're going to end up in the North Pole somewhere now. Like, you know, this is going crazy, you know. And so anyway, we're driving along for a while, and all of a sudden, you know, it would say, turn left here, or you know, whatever it was, what, take next ramp or something. And all of a sudden, we came out on this highway I never ever saw before. Wide highway. Somebody said it was a new one. I don't know. It looked new anyway. And we got on that and drove and never had to worry about anything else. And all of a sudden, we popped out and we see a sign for Ontario 401. I said, that's where we want to go, right there, you know. But you see, here's something we need to understand. When you're using a GPS, if you're you know, somewhere like that, you put in your address, hit the button. Now, I want you to understand something, and listen to what I'm saying here. You hit the button, and you start driving, and all of a sudden it tells you to turn this way, that way, some other way, you know, different things. And you turn that way, you turn this way, you turn that way, and you think, man, where in the world am I now? But all of a sudden, something pops up, and you say, okay, now I see where I'm at. You know, and because what happens, even if you put the address in, you're heading for Napanee, Ontario. You're in, you know, Drummondville, Quebec, or whatever. You're heading for Napanee, Ontario. Now, you might take the wrong road somewhere along the line, but how many have heard this before? Recalculating, make a U-turn when possible, you know? And you go along, and all of a sudden, you know, you go past that and say, make a U-turn. You say, I think I make a U-turn. You keep on going, and all of a sudden, it says, make a U-turn when possible. And then you go so far, and then it seems like you just get frustrated. It's just recalculating. Drive straight for the next 60 kilometers or whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden, it changes again. It says, you know, make a left. And you say, I'm not going to make a left. I'm going to go out. And all of a sudden, it recalculates again and gets you back on course again. And it keeps changing the time of arrival. You know, estimated time of arrival, 6 p.m. And you take four or five different wrong roads, and estimated time of arrival, 6:05 p.m. And you're going like that, and all of a sudden, you know, you get on something that's familiar, and you start going then, and you start to travel, and eventually you get home, you know. But God's leading in our life is a lot like that. God has set the destiny where he wants us to go. The destiny that God has got for us, the plans, the purposes, the perfect spot, the sweet spot where God wants us to be in life. God has got that for us. And while he's leading us in life, there are times when struggles will come up, problems will come up, and we'll get thrown off course, and we'll take the wrong road, and we'll get involved with something we shouldn't be involved in. We'll get involved with a relationship we shouldn't be in, or we should be, you know, go to a job that we shouldn't have had in the first place, or whatever the case might be. You meet up with wrong people that sort of set you back and cause problems in your life. And you think, well, you know, it's just well for me to give up because I'll never reach my destination. I'll never be where God wants me to be. No, God is just as good as better. God is like the GPS. He can recalculate everything and readjust everything and say, listen, I'm still keeping you on course. These things might have thrown you off for, you know, threw you in a loop for a while. But listen, make a U-turn up here or make a right turn up here or whatever. And God says, I'm going to keep you going. You might not get there on the time that God had for you in the first place, but you will get there. You'll miss up along the way, but every time you take a wrong turn or whatever you do, That GPS, God's positioning system, is going to take you right where He wants you to be. You understand that? So this is what it's like. The steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by God. Even when you mess things up, God can use that mess to straighten things out and bring you where you need to be. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever think that, you know, because you messed up, that God is going to turn His back upon you and just throw away all the plans that He had for you. No, God's got a perfect plan for you. We all have things happen in our lives, things that we don't understand. There's things that we, maybe an unanswered prayer. You're believing God for something and it's just not working out that way. Maybe you had a job and you got laid off and you said, man, I don't know how this is all going to work out. Or maybe you were believing God for a promotion at work and somebody else got it. And you get all frustrated with that. Or maybe you got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe you're, like I talked about last week, or week before last, whatever it was, maybe you're looking for a loan and it never got approved. You had your hopes built up on that. Maybe some friends would betray you. There's misunderstandings, difficult times that you go through, difficult people that you deal with. We all go through that. We're all in the same world. These struggles are common to us. The Word of God tells us, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that will come upon you. They're common to all of us. But the devil's got a way of trying to get us off to ourselves and say, listen, nobody's messed up so big as you are. Nobody's in such a mess as you are in. You know, and God could never use you because you messed up really bad. That's a lie. That's a lie. God's got a plan and a purpose. Just because something seems unfair in your life or looks like a bad break doesn't mean that God can't take that and use it for your good. He said He would take all things and work them together for our good. Our steps are ordered by God. See, something we need to understand, just as much as God can use the good points, you see, it's easy when things are going good. You know, remember that song, The God of the Mountain? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You know? And you've got peace of mind. And I can't remember all the words to it now, but was it? Like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose hope because you're never alone. You see, God can use the valley experiences, the hardships, the stupid, stubborn people that comes into our lives sometimes, the problems that we face, the struggles that we go through. God can use that just as much as He can use the good stuff. God sees everything. He's got the GPS and He can adjust that and bring you still where He wants you to be. So don't ever allow the devil to defeat you and say, well, you know, I messed up so bad, it's just well to give up. No, God is just readjusting, recalculating all the time, keeping everything on course so that you will arrive at your destination, His plan and His purpose for you. And just as much as God can use the bad things, He can use the good things. And just as much as He can use the good things, He can use the bad things. There's no difference to God. God sees it all. The disappointments in life, the failures, the setbacks, the frustrations, all these things, God can use them. Maybe there's a closed door. Maybe you've been believing God, you know, and you're going for something, and it seems like every time you try to go there, the door is closed. You ever try that sometimes? Every time you try to get ahead, there's a door that slams in your face. Listen, I've learned over the years, and this is a hard lesson to learn, but you need to learn this. Don't keep trying to open closed doors. God knows what's behind that door. You understand that? God knows what's behind that door. Just keep your trust in Him. He's got the GPS. Okay? He'll keep you on course. Just because something looks good doesn't mean to say that it is good. You know that. All that glitters is not gold. As long as you stay in faith, God will bring you through the other side. God will use the negative things to our advantage. I heard a fellow say one time, things that happen, we consider sometimes things that happen to us. He said, we got to change our understanding of that and believe that it never happened to me, it happened for me. God will use it for your good. It never happened against you, it happened for your benefit. There's times when you thought, man, that's not fair. That never worked out right. God sees everything. He said, he sees when we're sitting down. He sees when we're rising up. He knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He said, I saw you even before your form in your mother's womb, before there was even parts. He said, I labeled them all and marked on the day when they were formed in the womb. I marked on all the days of your life what I had planned for you. God is concerned about this. As long as we stay in faith, God will take everything that's against us and use it for our advantage. Here's the thought. When you understand that the steps, that your steps are ordered by God, once you really understand that and really believe that, even when you're going through stuff that you don't understand, if you understand this, that your steps are ordered by God, it takes all the pressure off you. It takes all the pressure off. Because even though I don't see how this is all going to work, I know I got somebody who loves me, somebody who's got a plan for me, and he's going to bring me safely to that destination. So when you understand that your steps are ordered by God, it'll take the pressure off. Your disappointments, when they come against you, you say, no big deal. I might be disappointed, but God sees the big picture. God sees where he's taking me. I don't see that, but God sees it. I'm going to put my trust in him. See, here's the problem. We don't know how to put our trust in God. We know it up here, but get it down here and really believe it. That's a different story. We can read in the Word of God that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. We say, amen. But I tell you, when you're going through something, and you quote that, and you start to believe that, and say, listen, I'm not going to worry about anything because God said he's ordered my steps. It takes faith to do that. But if we can do that, if we can keep our eyes upon God, God will bring us through it. So disappointments come along, no big deal. God wouldn't allow it to happen if he didn't have a plan for me. Now remember that. Keep that in mind. Betrayals, people will come up against you, and people you put your trust in, they'll betray you. See, no problem. They weren't true friends anyway. True friends won't betray you. Now keep that in mind. True friends will not betray you. And if they do, they'll come right back again and ask your forgiveness. But if somebody betrayed you, somebody that you put your trust in, they betrayed you, don't worry about it. Say, listen, God's got somebody better in store for me. God's got other people that he can bring in my life that will be true friends, that will stick with me. Maybe you get laid off from work. That's okay. God didn't want to hold me back at this job. God's got something better for me. You see, our attitude has got a lot to do with it. And see, when you believe that way, you're putting faith into action, and God can move when there's faith there. God says, without faith, you know, you can't do anything. But with faith, you can do anything. You understand? All things are possible to them that believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever's not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So when you're believing God for something, when you're going through something, and you say, listen, I don't care what happened. I'm just going to keep my eyes upon God, and he's going to bring me safely to the other side. And I'm not talking about safely to heaven. We know he's going to take us safely to heaven. But I'm talking about in your life, the plans and the purposes God got for you. God is going to bring me safely to do that. When you make up your mind that, listen, the job might have been gone, but God's got something better in store. And if you keep that attitude, God will bring something better in store. But if you're going around and say, oh my, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Well, you just tie God's hand and you can't do anything. You got to keep your faith and trust in God. When sickness comes in, you say, that's okay. God's my healer. And he'll bring me through this. As I said, when you understand that your steps are ordered by God, it takes all the pressure off. David felt the pains of betrayal. And there's times in life, as I said, we'll go through betrayal. And sometimes by a close friend. Now David, in Psalm 55, David, we don't know all the details behind it. In one sense, it's what they call a messianic psalm. It's something that David went through in his life, but it was also something that Jesus is going to face. So when David spoke about it, it was also speaking about what Jesus was going to go through. And this is what David said in Psalm 55. And as I said, we'll all go through times when people betray you, that you put your trust in, you thought for sure was going to be on your side, but when the rubber meets the road, they just back out from you. David went through that. Psalm 55, verses 12 and 14. He said, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me. David said, you know, people betrayed me. He said, it wasn't my enemies. This is what he said. He said, If it were, he said, I could bear that. I could put up with that if it was my enemies. You'd expect that from your enemies. He said, nor is it one that hates me who has exalted himself against me. He said, then I could hide from him. He said, but it was a man, my own equal. In other words, it was one of his close friends. He said, my companion and my acquaintance. You know what it's like sometimes? You have somebody that you put your trust in. And, you know, after you get to know them for a while, you start to tell them your deepest secrets. Because here's somebody, you know, and sometimes we need people like that, so that we can, just be real. And you tell them your deepest secrets. And you say, now don't tell anybody, because, man, if you tell that, that'll ruin me. That'll destroy me. That'll, mess up whatever. And David said, it was my own equal. It was my companion, my acquaintance. It was somebody that David put his trust in. He said, but it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. He said, we took sweet counsel together. In other words, we talked about some deep things together. We poured our hearts out to each other. And he said, we walked to the house of the Lord in the throng. In other words, we went to church together. This is somebody, this is a fellow believer. This is somebody that you put your trust in. Then in verse 21, David explains it a little bit more. He said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. He said, when he spoke to me, he said, I'd let down my guard because he is so smooth with his words. He said, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. But David, in the midst of all that, when he was betrayed, kept his eyes upon the Lord. David said, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now you get that? He said, God will never allow you to be moved or to be thrown off course. You might go through mishaps and things like this, but if you keep your trust in the Lord, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He said, God will never permit the righteous to be moved. Then in verse 16 and 17, he said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. In the midst of all that, you see David over and over and over. You can read through the Psalms. I can remember years ago, our pastor's wife, when we were just children, I can remember a sermon she preached, and she said, you can take the book of Psalms, and she said, one Psalm, she said, David is flying high. Next Psalm, he's hitting rock bottom. Two or three more, he's up again, and then he's down again. He's up and down all through the Psalms. Because he is going through real life. Same thing that we go through. You know, sometimes you write a journal, sometimes you could look back and see the same thing. One day, things are going wonderful. Next day, man, the bottom just fell out of everything. Next day, well, that worked out okay, and I'm okay now. 2 weeks down the road, right down the bottom again. And this is what David was like. This is what the Psalms are like. This is why Psalms are good to read for devotions, because they go through the same situations that we go through. And David, all through it, David always came back. And this is one thing that makes David the hero of faith that he is, over and over and over. When David went through this, he said, I will keep my trust in the Lord. I don't understand what's happening, but I'm going to keep my trust in God. Jesus betrayed, you know the story there. As I said, a lot of people believe that what David went through there when he was talking about the betrayal was also a picture of what Jesus was going through with Judas. I mean, Judas betrayed him with a kiss. You talk about words sweeter than honey and softer than butter and all these different. Judas came up and kissed him. And Jesus felt the pains. Peter denied him. But you know something? And here's something we need to understand. When people betray us and deny us and criticize us and everything else, let's not get even. Leave that to God. Leave that to God. Jesus never got mad at Peter or Judas. When Judas came, Jesus called him friend. He said to Peter, Peter, I prayed for you that you'll be strengthened. Jesus never criticized them, never judged them, never got angry at them. Jesus kept his trust in his Father. And we must do the very same thing. Judas didn't recognize it. And there's something else we need to understand. We need to understand that when people come against us, if it's betrayal, we're talking about betrayal there, but it could be anything. People come against you, somebody that you just can't seem to get around, you can't get past, you can't get through, you can't, you know, it just seems like there's a blockade. Every time you try to do something, there's a blockage there, and you just can't, you know, get ahead. Sometimes we look at these people and we get angry at the person. Let's not get angry at the person. Okay, there's a spirit behind that for one thing. But let's not get angry at the person. Realize that even though that closed door is there, even though that person is there and it seems like they're butting against me, everywhere I try to do something, they're against me. We need to realize that these people are the very people that God can use to catapult us right into the plan that he's got for us. Judas came against Jesus, but Judas didn't realize that he played a critical role in getting Jesus to his destination of being our Redeemer. You understand that? Judas betrayed Jesus. You know the story. Judas betrayed Jesus. Because of that, Jesus was taken to prison. He was falsely tried and everything else. Jesus eventually was crucified, paid for our redemption, rose again, went back into heaven. The Bible says now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, all because Judas betrayed him. So just because somebody betrayed you, somebody hurt you, somebody standing in your way and blocking you, start to look at that and say, listen, God can use this to catapult me. Instead of holding me back, God can use this to take me right directly where I want to be. Remember when they were going across the sea there and the storm came up? Jesus came walking on the water. And they all got afraid because they had a belief that if just before you die, you're going to see a ghost. I mean, you see what's going on there. All of a sudden, it's the middle of the night, the storm is on, and they saw him come across and he said, it's a ghost. We're going to die. Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. The Bible says he stepped into the boat and said to the wind, he said, be still. Die down. Everything became calm, the Bible says, and they were at the other side. Storms will take you right to your destiny sometimes. You understand that? What you're going through, the struggles that you're going through, will take you right directly where God wants to place you and bring you to the place. There are people, and you know this to be true, there are people that are going through struggles in life. Maybe they were alcoholics. Maybe they were involved with some other problem or you know, whatever the case might be. And the very thing that was their biggest storm, God is using now to be a big blessing in somebody else's life. God is using that very thing to catapult them, to put them right into the spot where he wanted them to be. God's got a plan for you, and he can readjust things in that GPS and keep you on course, even though when you don't understand what's going on. Those who betray you are not setting you back. They're actually setting you up for what God has got in store for you. Sometimes we go through these things, we don't like them, but God is using them. And one other thing we need to understand, every new level that we rise to always comes after a test. Always comes after a test. You never go on in school, well, nowadays anyway, I don't know what to do now, but you never go to the next grade until you pass the test of the first grade. Right? And there's storms in life that's going to come against us. And there's times that we'll face struggles and we'll not know which way to turn. And like we've talked about the past couple weeks, that's when the teacher is silent. You cry out to God and it seems like God is a million miles away. And you wonder what in the world is going on. And God is saying, listen, you know what to do right now. You know in your heart what you have to do. Yeah, but I don't feel like doing it. I just feel so frustrated. God says, listen, you know what you have to do right now. And you talk to another believer and say, listen, you know, I don't know what to do. And they say, keep your trust in God. Yeah, but tell me something better than that. What do I do? Keep your trust in God. Yeah, but I need somebody to help me. Keep your trust in God. Because you're not going to get to a new level until you pass through that test. And if you fail at that test, guaranteed you'll go through it again in a little while. You ever stop? Or you're driving down the road sometime and you're in a hurry. You know, you got to get the Canadian Tire before it closes or whatever. You ever notice that that's the slowest time some drivers are? And you get here, you say, oh, I get over in this lane. You get over in that lane, and all of a sudden somebody else pulls over in front of you again. And you get back over in the other lane, and they're back over there again. And you say, he don't even know there's anybody else around. You know? Listen, in trials like that, in testings like that, we need to learn patience. Because I guarantee you, if you get frustrated, it seems like every time you get on the road, you're going to run into these people. But if you learn to just take it all in stride and say, listen, Canadian Tire is open again tomorrow morning. Or whatever the case might be, you know. And just take it by patience. God will bring you to the other side. But you got to learn that lesson. And if you don't learn that lesson, you keep going around and around and around and running into more slow drivers. You'll find every slow driver's in Napanee, right in front of you. Until you learn that lesson. Why? Because God wants to develop you. God is more interested in developing us than to giving us an easy ride all the time. Sometimes we get frustrated because God doesn't work on our timetable. If B. Meyer said it this way, he said, don't try to hurry God. He has ages to work in. See, I got a little time frame. God, I got 10 minutes. I got to get this done. God's got eternity. You're trying to rush him? He's got ages to work in. And he loves you. And he's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. God is not surprised by the things that come up in our lives, all the adversity, the struggles, the disappointments. And as I said, God will take all these things, our enemies and everything else, and promote us to our God-given purpose. The Bible says, no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. It's one another thing I've learned too over the years. David Ingalls had a song out. It says, don't ask why. Don't you ask why. You ever go through something? Why is this happening to me? Why is all this going on now? How come this is going? Listen, I've learned over the years, even though I still do it at times, but I try not to. I've learned over the years, stop asking why. Because there's a thousand things that we'll never understand this side of heaven. The secret things belong to the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's things we'll never understand this side of heaven. Paul said right now, he said, we're looking through a glass darkly. But the day will come when we will understand all this and we say, now, Lord, I know exactly why I got into trouble right there. I know exactly why you let me get involved with that person right there. I know exactly why this happened right here, why that person betrayed me. God, now I can see that you use that to bring me to the destination that you had for me. But right now, my limited mind, our minds are too small to comprehend everything that God is doing. I can't even comprehend what's going on. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. I don't even know what's going to happen 2 seconds from now. You don't either. If you did, you could make some money. Our minds are too small. We can't comprehend, but God sees everything. God sees everything. Learn to put your trust in him. When the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome, Paul was in Jerusalem, and he's being accused of different things, and they're, you know, pretty well going to kill him. And Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. Now, when a Roman citizen appealed to Caesar, the law said he had to go stand before Caesar. And Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. And God spoke to Paul one night in a dream. Paul says, God says, Paul, he said, don't worry about all this trouble that you're going through right here. He said, these people can't hurt you. He said, you will stand before Caesar. Now, this is up in Rome from Jerusalem. I mean, long ways to go. And if you know the story in Acts chapter 26, 27, 28, in that area, they got on the boat and they start to go. And they changed ships. And Paul said to the captain of the ship, he said, I don't think, he said, we should leave. He said, I perceive, he said, there's going to be a bad storm. And the Bible says the soldiers or the workers on the ship and the captain and everybody else never paid any heed to it. So they started out. And they're only gone for a day or so, and all of a sudden this bad storm came. And the Bible says for 14 days they couldn't see the stars, they couldn't see the sun, they couldn't see anything, just storm. They never had GPS in those days, never had radar. And you had to see the stars to see where you're going. And the wind was blowing them everywhere, and eventually, just to make a long story short, because it took all winter and by the next spring before they got there. But eventually, they came to a place, and the storm was so bad, the Bible says, they had to start throwing the cargo overboard so that the ship wouldn't sink. And then they had to put ropes. They would go out with ropes, and they would throw them over the bow of the ship and let the ropes come back and under, and then they would tie them together and try to hold the ship together. And the Bible says that the people, the workers, the sailors, they were afraid. They never ate anything for 2 weeks. And it was a bad storm. And Paul had a vision. You've heard this story before. Paul had a vision at night, and an angel of the Lord stood by Paul and told him what was going to happen. So Paul told the sailors and the captain and everything else, he said, listen, sit down and have something to eat. He said, the ship is going to be lost. He said, but if we keep our trust in God, he said, I believe that it will be just as God told me. He said, not one of us will be lost. He said, our lives will be spared. So anyway, the story goes on that the ship did run aground. They were trying to line up. If you read the story, they found a place where they thought they could make the land, and they let go of everything, let go of the anchors and everything else, and they said, make a goal for the land. And as soon as they let go, they ran into a sandbar, and the ship all tore to pieces. And anyway, they all got to shore. And the Bible says as they went to the shore, the natives of the land was in Melita, but it was in Malta, we call it today, just off the coast of Sicily there, between Sicily up north and Libya, I guess it is, down below. And they were there, and they were lighting a fire, and the Bible says a viper came out and bit Paul. And all the natives said, well, he must be a murderer, because even though he got away from the sea, justice is not going to let him live. And the Bible says Paul just took his hand and flicked it off and flicked the serpent into the viper into the fire, and it died, and they all just waited. He's going to die. That's going to swell up. He's going to get sick. He's going to drop down dead. And they looked at him, and nothing happened. And Paul went on doing whatever he was doing. And you see how fickle people are. The Bible says, then they changed their mind. He says, no, he must be a god. From one extreme to the other, he must be a god now. And the Bible says there was a head fellow on the island. His name was Publius, and his father was sick. He had dementia and he had some other problems. And they called for Paul. They said, could you come? And Paul went and laid hands on him, and he was healed. I mean, that went like wildfire around the island. Everybody started bringing their sick people. People started getting healed. There was a big revival there. Paul and him stayed there for 3 months. And eventually, the Bible says the people, when the time came, they got on another ship called the Three Brothers. He said the signet on the front of the ship was called the Three Brothers. So they got on that ship and hit it for Rome. And he said the natives, he said, gave them everything they needed, all the necessities that they would need for the trip. You know what's interesting about that? I was looking up, and I got up this morning, and I thought, I wonder whatever happened in Malta regards to Christianity. You know, Christianity today is a religion, the national religion, or whatever you want to call it, of Malta, is Christianity. See, Paul thought he was in a storm that was going to take him off course, because he wanted to get to Rome. But no, God sometimes will use these storms to put you right where he wants you to be to do something for him, to teach you something, to do whatever. Paul eventually got to Rome. We have New Testament books written from Rome that Paul, you know, God told him, you're going to get there. It's like Jesus said one time, he said, let's go to the other side. I mean, there's a storm in the middle and everything else, but Jesus said, we're going to the other side. So when your steps are ordered by God, you're going to get to the other side. So your storms that come against you in life, and you thought, well, man, you know, there's no way that I can live through this, there's no way I'm going to get through this, that storm will bring you right where God wants you to be. Right where God wants you to be. As we said earlier, life is full of difficult times, difficult people, frustration, betrayals, hurts, whatever. But don't fight back against people. Don't fight against closed doors. Just put your trust in God and say, listen, I don't see what's behind that closed door, but God sees something there that I shouldn't have anyway. And just leave it in God's hands, because if we do that, God has got something better in store for us. I remember, and I never had this put down to say, but I just thought of it a couple of times. I'll share it, try to anyway. When we were in Newfoundland, I don't know how to say this without making it sound bad, and I don't mean to make anybody look bad or anything else, but I'm just going to tell you what happened anyway. We were with a denomination, and let me put it this way. Denomination was very, at that time, and I'm not saying it's like that now, but at that time it was very narrow-minded. A lot of you nodding your heads, you've all come from denominations like that. Very narrow-minded. They were the only way to heaven. They're the only one that was right. Everybody else, they might have been nice people, but they weren't going to make it because they don't have what we have. And anyway, myself and one of our board members and another pastor that was from the same denomination went to St. John's one time. There were some special services going on there. There was a conference going on over a weekend, actually. We went out for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, came back Saturday night, be back at my church for Sunday. And it was a church that was not part of our denomination. Now, you talk about how religion, plays parts and stuff. And we went out at a wonderful time, Never thought we did anything bad. We just went out for a service in another church. God moved, a lot of people saved, healed, and, wonderful. I came back home. And again, I'm not trying to make anybody sound bad, and I'm sure they've changed their minds on some things too now over the years. But anyway, I came back home and got down in the office. I was just preparing for Sunday morning, and I was only home probably 20 minutes or so. Telephone rings. And pick it up, and this was our district superintendent. Brother Lush, yes. How are things going? Wonderful. He said, I heard you were at a conference this week. I said, yes. Everybody got quiet for a while. He said, that's against our policy. I said, no, not really. I didn't know. Don't know if it made much difference anyway, but I didn't know. And he said, we can take your credentials for that. And I said, brother, I didn't realize. I said, but if that's what's necessary, you can have them. Now, he never, That started the ball rolling, and for 6 years, I don't even know how to say this. I don't want to make that person look bad, so don't take it that way, okay? They're beautiful people, good, godly men. But for 6 years, they were hounding us every time we did something. We had a thing we called, it was in a town, and we called the name of the town. Like you say, it was Napanee, we would say Napanee for Jesus, but it wasn't Napanee, but obviously it was in Newfoundland. But we would say, this town for Jesus. And we had a thing for the young people. We had the tennis court all done up, and we had games and everything going on there, and everything, just for children, and Sunday school stories and whatever, people there. And one of the pictures that went in the newspaper, we're doing Father Abraham. And it was me, the Salvation Army officer, United Church minister, Anglican minister, and Roman Catholic priest. All stood up the line doing these actions, with all the children. Nobody thought it was bad. Everybody thought it was wonderful, And that paper came out, it was almost like Napanee Beaver here, but it was, covered different towns. The paper came out right on the very front page, the name of the thing for Jesus. And here's all of us with our arms linked together doing action courses. And I was with the Catholic priest on one side, and I think the United Church minister on the other side. And that came out, and I say within an hour after paper came out in the town where this pastor lived, on the phone again, Brother Lush, I see you had a, thing for the children up there. I said, oh, yes. Well, now, Brother Lush, that's quite nice, but you know this, that we do this as a, and then he mentioned denomination. This has got to be a denominational thing. We don't like it when you fellowship with other denominations. I mean, I honestly would say to God, God, I'm not trying to do anything wrong. I'm not trying to cause problems. I just believe this is what you want us to do. We would go around Christmas time. There was a number of people that never had jobs and stuff like that. We knew this particular Christmas in particular. We did it for a number of Christmases after that, but this particular Christmas, people were going through some difficult times, so we decided we're going to do up some Christmas hampers, you know, just help people out. A bit of groceries, turkey, and you know, a few toys for their children. So we went, and I remember now, myself and Salvation Army officer went into the local clubs and took a little boxes, and we had a little things, put it on the counter in the clubs and talked to the people in the clubs and stuff like this. And I mean, that was, you know, far out. And the newspaper caught it. And we had all the groceries gathered together and all the toys and everything else, and we were in the basement, or in the hall, the fellowship hall, after United Church. And we were putting all this in baskets and different things, you know, or bags and that for the people. And the lady was there, took a picture for the newspaper. And sure enough, same thing. I get a phone call from the district office again. Brother Lush. You know. Yes, I did it. Yes, I did it. Well, that's fine and dandy. And we think you should celebrate Christmas too, but we do this as a denomination. Our name should be on that. And that went on. And just to make a long story short, eventually it came. We were there for 6 years in that church. And we resigned. And one of the other district superintendents that was a district that I was in prior to that said to me, he said, Brother Steve, he said, you will never get another church. I said, why? He said, well, I said, I've been in some meetings. He said, like, he said, your name has come up a few times, he said. And I know him. He stood up for me and he told me he did. He said, but he said, I'm only one voice. And he said, you will never get another church. I said, well, we leave that with God and see how, you know, things that work out. Anyway, we resigned. We stayed in that community for another year. Our oldest daughter was doing her grade 11 at the time, or 12, whatever it was at the time. And she was doing that, and she wanted to finish up her schooling there. So we said, okay, we'll stay there. So we bought a house and stayed there in that town. And the other pastor came in, was a friend of ours, came in to, you know, to go over. But while he was there, I mean, his father took a heart attack, and he had to go to B.C. and spend time with his father, which is fine. His brother, who was another pastor, got killed in an accident. And I filled in most of the winter for him because he was just running around. And not because he was doing anything bad. I mean, he just had a lot of issues going on at a particular time, so I was filling in for him. And I stayed in the church and played guitar and things like this and helped out with the music. And so anyway, I was in the office, or in my house, upstairs, just walking around the bedroom one night praying, just asking God's direction, because this was, you know, almost a year now since we were pastoring, even though I was filling in practically every Sunday somewhere, and then for the last 5 or 6 months in the church anyway, but not officially as pastor. And I said, Lord, you know, where does all this go? Like, I mean, this is, you know, and I can remember one night up in the room praying, and just as real as if God spoke to me, he said, you're going to get a phone call, I said, from the board of the church. And he said, I want you to go down and see them. That's how I felt in my spirit, you know. And honest, no sooner did I feel that, the telephone rang. Pat was downstairs, she called up, she said, Steve, you're right on the phone. And this is one of the board members, the secretary of church. He said, Pastor Lush, he said, our pastor just resigned. This is the other pastor. He said, our pastor just resigned, he said. And he said, we're here in the board meeting now. He said, we wonder if you would come back and be our pastor again for another, you know, whatever the term was. I think it was 4 years after that. And he said, we wonder if you'll come back and be our pastor again. And I said, well, I'll come down and talk to you. Because that's what I felt in my spirit. I had to do. So anyway, I went down and talked to them. And I said to the Lord, going down, I said, Lord, I said, I don't want them to call me just because you're here in town. It's not going to cost us anything to get another fellow in. So great. You know, don't even move you. Don't even do anything. You're here. You know. And there's three or four different things I had listed down. And I went into to the board meeting. And as soon as I sat down, one by one, it was three things actually. One by one, the three fellows, it was five on board, three of them said, Pastor, first of all, this is probably going through your mind. They said, we're not calling you just because you're here in town. It's easier to get you. And the three different things, that just one after the other. I never said a word. They just said that right. So I knew God was, you know. So anyway, they decided, and I said, yeah, I'd come back. I felt good to come back. I said, you know, set the date. So they had to announce it twice over the pulpit. So I'd be for 2 weeks down the road, you know, for to get done legally. And so anyhow, they got up next Sunday morning, and they announced that in 2 weeks we're voting on Pastor Lush to be our pastor again. And everybody in church was happy with that, and it was, you know, wonderful. And I get a phone call. Brother Lush, I hear they're going to have a vote on you on such and such a date. I said, yes. I said, they had a meeting. I said, and, you know. They said, okay. That's how I was to it. And it was going to be on a Monday. The vote was going to be on a Monday. Friday, I get a call, the Friday before the Monday. I said, Brother Lush. Now, I was 45 minutes off the main highway. Now, I'm sorry for telling you all this, but I just want to show you something. I was 45 minutes off the main highway. And they said, the executive is meeting in Corner Brook, which is on the West Coast. He said, but they're passing through tomorrow on the way back to St. John's. They would like to meet with you. And so anyhow, I said, okay. So I had to go down to this other church that was on the main highway as they were passing through. We had a meeting there. And they went down through a list of different things that they heard about, you know, how bad I was or whatever. And every last one of the things, I mean, and here's something else. Before I went there, and probably 2 weeks before, I didn't know this meeting was going to get called. Over and over and over and over, honest, I mean, God is my witness. Every time I'd open up the Bible, it would open up to bring you before the magistrates and the courts. Don't worry what you're going to say. It would be given to you at that time. You know? And when they called that day, I knew this was trouble. You know? And I went upstairs and I said, Lord, I got to know what to say. And just like that, the scripture came back. Don't worry what you're going to say. It'll be given to you. I mean, this is a gospel truth. And so anyhow, I got up and I said, okay, I'm just going to leave it alone. And that's what is hard, when you just leave it alone, you put your trust in God. Next day came, I went down to the town and had the meeting. And as I said, every question they asked, it just, like I wasn't afraid, I was just like I was just talking, you know, like you hear now. I just explained, and okay, yeah, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense. You know, every single one of them. But there's one pastor, not the fellow that was phoning me all the time, but this was another fellow that was under him, but still above me. And he did not like it because there were some people that he kicked out of his church that started coming to my church. And I didn't know it at the time. It would have probably made no difference anyway, but I didn't know it at the time. They came in, and I knew the people, and I said, I'm going to ask Brother so-and-so. He said, if he'd close in prayer. Well, that went back down to the other church pretty quick. The person you kicked out is up closing in prayer up in Pastor Steve's church. So, I mean, it was just boiling, you know. And you talk about politics and religion, you know. And anyway, I went to the meeting and everything, you know. And the fellow that used to phone me all the time said, Brother Lush, the district superintendent, he said to me, he said, Brother, he said, you give good answers here today. He said, this is on the Saturday. And he said, I wish you the best, he said, on the vote on Monday. You know, I said, okay. But I went home that night, and Pat was working. And I went home, and all the way going up, I said, Lord, what do I do? And I just felt this uneasiness, just weird, strange, not knowing what to do. And I went home, told Pat the situation, what happened. And I went upstairs, and I went into the bedroom. I took my Bible, and I started to read again. And nothing, I mean, I don't know what to open up to. Nothing made any sense whatsoever. I was walking in a room just praying, I was trying to get some direction or whatever. And I just threw the Bible on the bed late, and I said, Lord, where do I go from here? And I just knelt down. God's my witness. I knelt down at the side of the bed. I was just going to ask God for direction. And as soon as I knelt down, I felt God speak to me so powerful. He said, take the plunge and trust me. And I really didn't know what that meant. He said, take the plunge and trust me. And I said, Lord, plunge in what? I honestly didn't know. And God says, pass in your resignation. This is gospel truth. God said, pass in your resignation. I just felt that so deep inside. Pass in your resignation and just trust me. Now, if anybody has ever left a denomination, you know how hard it is to make that decision. Especially when you thought they were the only people that's going to make it. And boy, I tell you, it was a decision that I had to, you know, this is real. This is, and I said, okay, God. And I was only knelt down half a minute, I guess, but all this went, you know, in that time period. And I got up, and just as I stood up, and I had my mind made up that I'm going to pass him, I mean, such a peace came over me. There's no way to describe the peace that came. And I called the board together. I said, can I meet them in church for a minute? Now, as far as they're known, they're going to have to vote on Monday. And I came in, this is on a Saturday night. I said, boys, I said, I'm not going to let my name stand for that vote. How come? So I told them a bit of what happened. And so anyhow, to make a story short, I resigned, gave up, didn't have a clue now what I'm going to do. Nowhere to get a church in Newfoundland, like, I mean, you know, denomination, you know, by this time I made up my mind that I'm going to resign. I went home and sat down and wrote out a letter, put it in the post office, and passed it out to the head office. Thank you for at that time I was with them 14 years. Thank you for the 14 years that I've had under your ministry, and I appreciate everything you've helped me with and all these different things and training and all that, but I just felt that God wants me to move on. But you know something? I was talking to a pastor a while ago, and he went through basically the same thing. And I said, you know, I haven't had, and this is the gospel truth, I haven't had 2 seconds where I wondered if that was the right decision or not since then. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. You know? Now, one pastor said, you will never get another church. Well, I was going to get the church, but gave it up. But from that time, I mean, that was 1993, so 21 years ago now. God is blessed, well, 1994, I guess that was, 93, yeah, 94. And God has blessed us, brought us here, brought us, you know, different things. And whichever way you look at it, it doesn't matter to me. But to me, that storm brought me where I am today. It was a storm that we went through for 6 years. And like I kept saying to God, God, I'm not trying to do something stupid. I'm not trying to, you know, stir up people and get them mad or anything. I just believed that's what you are leading me to do. I knew sometimes when I made a decision to do something that this is going to cause some flack, but I just knew that this is what God wanted us to do. You know, so there's times when you're going to go through struggles in life. You're not going to understand it. You're certainly not going to see all the future. God will take you one step at a time. But listen, rejoice, for your steps are ordered by God. Even the storms that you go through, God can use that to bring you to your destiny. You understand that? When you're going through struggles, you don't know which way to turn. God can use the very struggle that's against you. The people that are betraying you, the people that are hurting you, God can use these very same things to bring you right to the shore where He wants you to be. God's got a way of readjusting it, recalculating, readjusting that GPS to bring you safe to your destination. Amen.